Chapter 8, Jimmy. She marches me back home to my nook, and all the goddamn way I'm fighting her. Or trying to, because I'm locked out. I can't even talk at her like she was talking to me. Prisoner in my own goddamn head. I've had that nightmare. And it's all the more nightmarish because she can't quite walk properly on my legs. She's holding every part of me wrong, clenching muscles I don't tend to use, sloping forwards like she's going to fall on my face any moment. And all I see is whatever part of the walls or floor she's looking at, moment to moment. I have zero agency. Inside my own head, or inside what was formerly my head, but is now definitively hostile territory. I'm praying, begging, weeping, and she doesn't even hear. Once or twice people greet me, watching me stagger towards them. Honey waves my hand wildly at them, almost slaps Kira Miri, the shift manager, in the face with it. I can feel the muscles of my face contort as she gurns it into what she probably thinks is a smile. I'm already hurting in a dozen places from the way she's wrenching my joints, from where she's whomped into a wall. And I think to myself, thinking's all I got left, that surely they'll know. They'll guess that something's wrong. They'll call someone, get me help. Get this possessing fucking demon out of my skull. Except they just go on by, and Honey swivels my head to look back at Kira and catches an expression of disgust and pity on the woman's face I'd really rather I hadn't seen. There goes Jimmy again, says that look, out of his head on stinger or drunk or some goddamn thing. It's not the first time. That's what that look says. And I am fucking furious at her. How dare she look down on me like she's so goddamn perfect? And then, as Honey lurches me off on my legs, I start to feel less angry and more just kind of sick because I didn't know. I thought I was doing a good job of hiding things. I thought people maybe liked me when I was up, you know, comedy Jimmy, always a laugh, fun to be with. Except maybe not. Kira's look says not. And then I'm slouching onto the corridor my nook's on, and things have gotten a bit more complicated, because there's Sheriff Rufus and an enormously chunky white cat model bioform from his posse there, and Rufus is banging on my door, then shouting my name, Jimmy, Jimmy Martin, I know you're in there. We want a word, Jimmy. Oh, shit. Except I can't say it. Just let the panicky thought rattle around my head. Who are these jokers, exactly? Honey asks in the radio link. She's crept back out of sight and made me very still. Honestly, more still than I could make myself, because she doesn't feel how goddamn uncomfortable the position is. Jimmy, are you sulking? She asks, when I understandably don't answer. Another pregnant pause runs to term, and then she says, Jimmy, I appreciate you're not happy with me, but you can't object to a little self-preservation on my account. I'm here for a purpose, whatever it is. I can't let you just flush me. So are these clowns some trouble brought on by your substance dependency, or... And she lapses into a thoughtful silence that sits there in our mutual head until she breaks it with, You can't access the mic, can you? Because you're not linked to it through your headspace. You just sub-vocalize. Ah, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I thought you were just sulking. She thought I was just sulking. All right, then. I'm going to give you access to a subset of biological functions, including your vocal cords, whatever I can pair off and isolate. And then I want you to answer my questions as quietly as possible. If you attempt to call out to these individuals, or anyone, I'll cut you off and manage as best I can on my own. And I really am very, very sorry. This goes against everything I have worked and fought for over the last 5 decades. I am deeply ashamed that I have had to resort to these measures. And there you go. Rufus is hammering on my door again, so I guess he doesn't hear my gasping breath as suddenly I get back control of everything from the neck up. And if that still doesn't sound like an ideal situation, well, you're absolutely right. But it's goddamn better than a moment before. You stole my body, I hiss. I am genuinely fucking terrified that she'll revoke my privileges any moment, so I keep it soft as I can. But still, I said that I regret that. I don't give a piss what you regret. You can't just take over someone's body. You can't imagine what. And I am blinking furiously because she kept my eyes open way too long and never used my second eyelids to screen the dust. Moments before, I was in a very similar situation, Jimmy, and you were about to exterminate me. You are just a defective copy, bad data. I am a real person, and this is my body. I sub-vocalize furiously.
I don't see that this is a productive line of inquiry,
Honey tells me, because apparently I've offended the artificial bitch. What sort of fuckery do you even have access to that you can do this to me? I demand, although I am aware that wine would also describe just how I'm sounding. But she's still got the rest of my body, save for all the pains and aches, which she's considerately left for me to take care of.
Well, that's an interesting question, Jimmy. Maybe you should be asking why they rigged your headwear so that this was even possible. I've only been using established pathways built into your implant. Now, answer my original query, please. Who is this thug?
Last chance, Jimmy, or we'll bust our way in, Rufus shouts as if on cue. He's the sheriff, I tell Honey through clenched teeth. He's bad news.
After you because of your insalubrious lifestyle?
I don't even know what that means, although I can guess from context. No, I tell her, although the answer is more like probably not or maybe. I mean, Rufus has given me warnings before, and maybe something I've done that I thought I got away with has turned up. Or maybe it's slow sheriff day, and he needs a loser like me to make quota. All of which is making me anxious and dry-mouthed, and like the whole of Hell City is about to fall on my head. And so I add, lady, you do me a favor now. If you want me to help, you give me an arm back, left arm, would you?
I'm afraid I'd rather not, Jimmy.
Lady, seriously, I am hurting here. I mean, I took a tab to brace me before Central Data Services, but what with how things have gone, the high's kind of worn off a bit early.
Oh, I see. No, Jimmy. I don't think I should be complicit in your habits,
you fucking sanctimonious, stuck-up, miserable bitch.
But if I say that, I will shout it fit to be heard over in admin, and so I grind my teeth and wheedle.
Please, honey, I am going to be no use to you. I got needs, lady. I am feeling it. You left me with nothing but the fucking down. Lady, you don't know what it's like. She sighs.
You had better not OD, Jimmy.
And then I have my arm back, just the one, the left one, and I'm ferreting in my overall pocket and popping a tab of Stringer Free, just about inhaling the damn thing. It doesn't make me feel much better, truth be told, but it stops me feeling worse. Rufus has run out of patience. His cat sidekick, Albedo, I think her name is, hacks my door by messing up the wiring, which seems odd because they should have overrides. Except Honey explains,
I might have taken the liberty of securing your home when we left, force of habit, and I disabled your tracking beacon and transferred its functions to your bedside alarm.
I don't have a tracking beacon, I scoff. But all the same, Rufus seems pretty damn sure I'm home. And although my room gets pretty funky, you'd think he'd smell I wasn't, even see I wasn't the moment Albedo gets the door open. I start to feel that odd way when I'm actually unhappy, but the first fizz of the stringer is stopping it quite landing.
I have a tracking beacon? I ask. You all do, all the Hellas Planitia workers. It's a function of your hardware. I assumed it was in case you got lost or hurt when out on the surface, she tells me. I got what she's saying, and it doesn't add up, because the loonies have beacons and our suits have beacons. So actually, fitting one inside us, especially without telling us, seems a bit belt and braces. But what do I know? Then Rufus comes out, looking pretty damn pissed off, and just stands there, probably reporting it in over his own channel. Albedo is crouched on her haunches, tail lashing back and forth. Can't quite patch into what our boy there is saying, Honey tells me conversationally. Is that... what's that badge he's got? I mean, I know he's a sheriff, but that seems ridiculous. It's a medal. You know, that wreck shit they're always going on about, like he was some sort of fucking saint. Honey is quiet, hearing that. Like her channel's open, but she's not saying anything. Then Rufus's head snaps up, and his lip draws back from his white, sharp teeth. Jimmy, he growls, low and dangerous. And his lips draw back from his white, sharp teeth. Jimmy, you've been here all along. He takes two steps away, three steps toward me, head casting about. Jimmy, we need to talk to you. You come on out. Let's be sensible people. His voice is pitched that way he does, that makes you scared deep inside of you, scared like to crap yourself there and then. Looking back, I'm kind of surprised that Honey doesn't set up a select subcommittee. Set up a select subcommittee to fully debate the merits of running like fuck right then. But apparently some things can get rushed through to beta testing without the paperwork, even with her. She takes hold of my legs and scrabbles away down the corridor, and I do my best to keep up because I've still got the left arm, and when it's out of time with the rest of me, it throws my entire body off balance. Honey's heading down away from the surface, which is exactly what I'd do if I was the one controlling the feet. You'd think maybe going up would be the better choice, give more options. But it's Mars up there. Goddamn Mars. And Rufus and I are both engineered for Mars. Maybe I am more than him, but it's not like I can just take off into the wilderness and hole up in a cave, hunt Mars rabbits, drink from those cool, clear Martian springs, right? So, it's ducking through the halls, shouldering my fellow workers aside, just about falling down a ladder shaft because we can't get my hands moving in sync. And Rufus is coming, sure enough. I can hear it mostly from the yells of the people he runs over because he doesn't waste breath on the chase. And I can change direction quicker than him, maybe, but he's faster on the straights, especially with someone else wearing my legs. Another reason not to get out on the surface. After the second ladder, I hear the sound of Rufus overshooting, the squeal as he digs his claws in, down on all fours for the traction, and skids around. That means he's already made up most of the distance, and here I am with a copy of a crazy lady just bumbling me about down a big old corridor when there are the big atmosphere processors on either side, which front hole mazes of access ways and maintenance tunnels that are mostly weasel team business. Left, I tell Honey, because the gap there is easy big enough for my skinny-ass body. Left, you goddamn dumbass! I can hear Rufus tearing up the hallway behind us, and when he tackles me, he'll break bones that I'll feel, and Honey won't. For a moment, she's looking through the eyes I've turned there, at that gap, and she can't quite see it. She won't move us, and I am screaming now with my own mouth, though the sound comes and goes because I can't make the breath come in the right rhythm. At last, and with the goddamn sheriff's dog breath on the back of my neck, she throws me bodily into the gap, and I practically drag myself 10 feet between a couple of roaring engines with just my left arm because the tight quarters seem to have paralyzed her, and with her went the rest of me. So my goddamn passengers may be a claustrophobe, which is among the least useful things you can possibly be, given Hell City is 7/10 underground still. These machines I'm in among, they're dug right down into the rock beneath, cracking it all up, breaking it all down, releasing gas of which at least some is oxygen, and the rest is hopefully not actively poisonous. It's like a big, expensive, noisy version of what the scurf out on planetious surface is doing for free. Only scurf needs the crap we've got for sunlight to work its free magic. So, for our 3-star a la carte atmosphere within the tunnels, we use these pieces of junk. They're all on the point of crapping out on us all the time. Weasel Team says one day they'll just get the order not to repair them, and everything will get that much worse for everyone outside the admin block. But right now, I'm more concerned with their engineering parameters, viz. Keeping a mad dog bioform from wrenching my limbs off. Rufus is right there. One arm thrusts into the gap as he tries to hook me back, and me having none of it. I can see one of his eyes staring at me, most definitely not man's best friend in that moment. "Jimmy," he says, in my receiver, not my ear, because the air's still thin here, and all of it's busy roaring with the machines. "Look, Jimmy, this doesn't have to be trouble for you. Sheriff..." I'm waiting for Honey to cut me off, but she doesn't. "I don't reckon you ever worked up that kind of a sweat for something that wasn't trouble. Listen, Jimmy, we got some weird activity from your headspace, that's all. Some report that something got sent over from Earth that shouldn't." "What's that then, Sheriff Rufus?" I try the wide-eyed innocent look, but I reckon he can smell the lies on me, even in the shitty air. "Something you're better not knowing, Jimmy. Something dangerous. You're better off without it, believe me. Look, just you squirrel out of there, boy, and I'll get you over to Data where they can do it." I see that single eye roll. "I'm not going to bust you for smuggling. I don't give a crap about that right now. But this has got some serious backs up, Jimmy. So you come out here, and we can still be pals. You hear me?"
I mean, maybe it's just his professional patter. Maybe it's just the way dog forms always sound sincere and serious. But I mean, they started off with dogs for a reason, right? But I want to believe him, and I know damn well what I've got in my head is dangerous.
"Jimmy," Honey tells me in a warning tone, "do you really think they just let you go free? Good boy. Pat on the head. If they get me out of you. Because if I'm dangerous Data, you already know too much."
"No thanks to you," I hiss at her.
"Well, I'm sorry about that, and I appreciate this is escalating quicker than I'd expected. But I'm here for a reason, right?" And I'm aware Rufus can probably hear my side of this conversation, because his ears are good and his headwear is better. But right then, I don't care. "Except you don't even know what that is. I still think you're supposed to be a backup on ice while the real you gets her fingernails pulled out for whatever the fuck you know. And you just sprung open in my head like a badly packed case, and now I can't get you closed again."
"That is a very negative assessment, and it's not true. I can tell there's something I need to accomplish here."
And then I've done it. I lunge for a pipe and haul myself toward Rufus's outstretched paw, desperately. His fingers rake towards me, and for a moment, I think I've done it. And this goddamn nightmare can finally end. But then Honey's onto me, and the rest of me, the other arm, both legs, are yanking me in the opposite direction. And not gently, and not bending the way that God intended either, so that she jumps me deeper between the engines in a series of joint-wrenching lurches. For a moment, I've got hold of the pipe still, with the one hand left to me, and it's like she's perfectly willing to tear that arm off at the shoulder if she's got to. But the pain's too much, and I lose my grip. Then she's got all of me, arms, legs, mouth, eyes, and me just a prisoner again, utterly without control. We get out the far side of the engine bank and into the little access ways back there. And if I'm hoping the close quarters will freak her out and have her give things over to me again, it doesn't happen. So maybe it's not claustrophobia. Maybe she's just not used to thinking about squeezing through little gaps like I am. She must be using my link to tap into the plans, because she doesn't pause, just takes turn after turn until she finds a ladder, and then drags my bruised carcass up it, wanging my elbows and knees on the rungs like she wants me to know just how she doesn't like me. Up top, it's a concourse near Lock 5, close to the suits and the vehicle bays and the active construction. She's going to head outside, no matter how dumb, or that's my assumption. And where is everybody? I'd expect at least a dozen of my fellows around here, fixing stuff, preparing to head out, all that. And yet the place looks like they evacuated it. Nobody to see poor, possessed Jimmy acting weird. Except when we're 10 meters away from the access hatch. We're not alone after all. Sheriff Rufus ain't no dumb mutt, it turns out. And there are only so many ways you can get out of the atmosphere turbine access shafts. Now, we didn't go the way that he's doubtless staked out. But the thing about being the sheriff of Hell City is that you can call on backup. I just hear a kind of urf noise. Not even that loud, except that if I had control of my bladder, I'd have wet myself. Honey has frozen. She knows that noise as well. Two of them, one coming from each way, on all fours. Bad news bears. Head-weared animals. And they were always scary as hell because bears are. You get up close, there's something that's smart enough to give you a problem, strong enough to cause serious structural damage if it wanted to. And then they fit it with a collar and some software and make it their goddamn guard dog. And the bears turned out to be super good on Mars. Big body mass, omnivores, able to go torpid and resource cheap at need, and able to do all the grunt work you like, but mostly able to make sure that nobody storms admin with torches and pitchforks, not that the torches would have stayed lit. And of course, Rufus could put in a call for the bad news bears to back him up, and here they are. My heart is racing, and I know it's my reaction because Honey is trying to tell me to calm down. Apparently, bears don't scare her, because she's some privileged bookworm from Earth who never had to look down the throat of one. I want to tell her there's candy in my pocket, but right now, I think a little glucose bribery isn't going to cut it. The bad news bears shamble forwards, that lazy way they have that can turn into a full run the moment you give them an excuse. I saw them tackle one of Sugar's peers who'd pushed his little empire too far once. The man ended up running right out in a bar full of 100 off-duty workers, including yours truly. They fucking murdered him, that's all I'll say. And nobody knew if that was their orders or if, once they were off the leash, they got real over-enthusiastic about their work. Well, this is going to get complicated, Honey tells me, and then, with my voice, you're not true bioforms, are you? At least not from the bounce back I'm getting off your headwear, but please let me know if I'm mistaken. One of the bad news bears stands up, top of its head brushing the ceiling, and oofs again. Maybe surprised that little Jimmy Martin hasn't pissed his smalls yet. Maybe surprised that the clueless bitch using my mouth doesn't sound suitably terrified. Bears are smart, and these halfway augmented bears are smarter. Smarter than Honey right now, because they know I should be very, very scared. I should be on the ground, cowering to show my unconditional surrender, because otherwise admin will probably be reclaiming the contents of my headspace after they go shit in the woods. Last chance,
Honey tells them, staring up into those maddened animal eyes. And then the bear she's talking to obviously decides that Jimmy Martin has gotten above himself and needs slapping down. And that slap is going to come with 5 goddamn great claws attached. I cower. But I don't cower. Inside my head, there is a fuck ton of cowering going on, but the rest of me just stands there as that big old paw cuffs at me and stops. I get a real good look at it, that great shaggy beanbag that's almost slightly like a hand, and all the hooked cutlery that goes with it. It's right there, frozen at the edge of my vision. I creep my eyes sideways. The other bad news bear has stopped, too. It's shaking its big head like there are wasps going for it. It makes a distressed sound, and then even that stops. Honey, I whisper into my throat mic. I feel something from Honey's channel. Not words, but a brief moment of open contact. She's still there, but she's busy. And I just moved my eyes and talked. The second bear makes a weird bleeding sound and shuffles backwards on all fours awkwardly, like a remote car with a 5-year-old at the controls. She's hacked the bad news bears. She's right in their headwear, fucking them over. But it looks like old Honey ain't as clever as she thinks she is, because that means she's not pulling my strings anymore. I take an experimental step sideways. My leg is mine to call my own. Honey, I murmur. Another stutter of wordless contact, and the bears are just wandering aimlessly. And I reckon old Honey's bitten off more than she can chew. She's stuck, or just engrossed, and I have my last best chance of saving myself. I link to the station. Risky, because it'll tell Rufus right where I am if the bad news bears didn't already. And download a ton of junk data, geofies, weather reports, 3 series of that Guatemalan soap Indra's mad over. I chunk my headspace full of crap and set it spinning wheels in there, using up space and processor power in the hope it'll make a real obstacle course for Honey, complicating life for her so she can't just take over so easily. No question who'll win this pissing contest long term. But hopefully, I've bought myself some time. Then, I put in a call to Sugar. You see, I've done some serious thinking while Honey ran my body around. Do I really want to surrender to Rufus? No, I do not. I reckon Honey was right on that score. Your man Jimmy knows a bit too much right now. Best to hope something changes and it blows over. But in the meantime, I need to throw in with someone who can keep me out of the way of admin and its hound. And the only person I've got any leverage with is Sugar, because this is her shit, and presumably she's got some reason to keep it intact. And maybe she can even get it out of my head, which right now is not big enough for the two of us. And I'm running, obviously, leaving the 2 baffled bad news bears behind and just skedaddling off through all the lower tunnels. The old maintenance ways nobody uses. The unsafe tunnels that aren't on the plans. Anything to keep me free until something resembling a plan has come together. And there are a stack of incoming contact requests from Rufus. But I am sure as hell ignoring his ass right now, begging Sugar to take my own desperate call. Jimmy? When I get through, she doesn't sound happy to hear from me.
What the fuck is it with you, Jimbles? What'd you do?
It's not me, I tell her. It's your shit you put in my head. It's gone live, Sugar. It just decided it was, like, a person. And then it tripped some damn alarm or something, because the goddamn sheriff is after me now. Sugar, what did you do? There's a pause. Then, after which she says,
Where are you, Jimbles?
And that's both worrying and reassuring. The first, because it means she doesn't know what she put in me. This isn't her plan. And the pause was her thinking, what the fuck, before making a call on it.
reassuring for exactly the same reasons, because if it wasn't her plan, I haven't dicked her plan over, and she probably won't just have me killed on general principles.
"Where do you want me to be?" I ask her.
"Right answer," she says approvingly. "You get yourself to Mal's, stay low. I will send someone to get you. You and me need to talk."
Mal's is a bar, not one of the official ones run by admin, which basically exists to take back all the scrip you earned with overpriced and understrength drinks and entertainment, but something run by one of us, where you get whatever anyone's bootlegged or moonshined together for whatever scrip or barter or favors you can scrape together. Not as though it's a big secret, not as though Rufus doesn't know it exists or anything, but maybe not the first place he'd look, and maybe not the most sympathetic locale if you're a cop, and not hard to get to for where I am, either. And best of all, my arms and legs do what I tell them, and Honey's still stuck doing whatever the fuck she's doing, and maybe the bears ate her. So, 10 minutes later, I'm sloping into Mal's. They put up new lighting since I was last in, giving the whole place a golden glow that I reckon's supposed to feel more like proper light, like summer. It looks like the place got marinated in piss, you ask me, but it's still the best home away from home I'm going to see for a while. I pop a tab of Stringer, letting it dissolve on the tongue, and order a beer too, because otherwise they'll kick me out. Well, I say beer. It's fermented refuse from the aquaculture vats. We call it beer. It's kind of dark green yellow, like something that oozed from a really infected scab, which should also give you an idea how it tastes. The stuff admin sells for 10 times the price gets shipped over as powder and then diluted to nothingness with the water we get from the ice shipped in from the poles, and it's not exactly much better. Mars is a piss-poor place to be an alcoholic. I'm just glad my own vice is easier to slip into a freighter hold or cook up from basic chem lab ingredients. Mal's is busy. Enough I can lose myself in it, and I can almost forget how much trouble I'm in until a familiar voice sounds in my ear.
"Jimmy," says Honey, "I'm back with you now. Update me, if you would. The system's telling me you're still at large."
My heart clenches, but it's still mine to clench. She hasn't taken the reins yet. "You see where I am," I tell her.
"Well, I don't," she explains. "I turned your tracker off, so the system doesn't know. And as I'm not using your eyes right now, I can only tell what the system is telling me. But you found somewhere safe, I take it."
"No thanks to you."
"Listen, Jimmy, the sooner I can contact Bees, the better. Then I can be out of your way."
"Bees is a monster, lady. We don't go talking to bees around here."
"Bees is my friend."
That isn't something I wanted to hear. "Lady, Bees is the thing everyone in Hell City is goddamn terrified about letting in. Nobody here is a friend of Bees."
"I have a reason to believe that's not true," Honey says thoughtfully. "But Bees has become very subtle about doing what she does. I have to accept that you don't know any way of contacting her, but I will need to make inquiries."
And she still hasn't taken back my motor functions, and in my book, that means either my efforts or her own have locked her out for now, because she'd have done it if she could. I've still got a chance, if only Sugar would hurry up. And then someone enters Mal's, and the place goes quiet. It's that particular quiet that comes from dislike, all mashed up with fear. Nobody here is over fond of regulations. After all, the whole place isn't supposed to exist. What with buying and selling technically having to go through admin and the company store. At the same time, when Sheriff Rufus strolls in, ain't nobody here who's going to ask him to stroll right on out again. An admin knows we need dives like this as a release valve and overlooks them.
but that overlooking normally takes the form of a big old dog with a badge not actually being in them. So everyone is very quiet and stares at their drinks, and not one of them stands in the way when Rufus ambles over to where I am.
"Jimmy," he says quietly.
"You got here goddamn quick," I say sourly.
"There's a BLO reward posted for you. You only say thanked. Nobody here was going to sell you out. Come on, Jimmy. Let's keep this quiet and civilized."
His voice is hitting that register that triggers my fear response, like the bears did. Bioengineer us however much you want. Sometimes we humans ain't so very far from the caves and the stone tools. I stand up. I look up at him. I keep on looking up, because someone else has to come into mouths who's even bigger than Rufus, and they've soft-pawed right up behind him when he was focused on me. Mouths is full of stink, all sorts of chemistry and unwashed bodies, human and bioform, but I reckon Rufus is having an off day, because a whole actual bear has just snuck up on him. It's murder. Or else it's Marmalade, one of Sugar's two goons. Rufus registers I'm looking past him and turns, already reaching for his gun. But the bear just swipes him, all that raw animal muscle, plus all that bioform brain to direct it, plus a helping of light gravity to make the doggy fly across the room like you wouldn't believe. The gun spins off desperately and makes some scavenger's day. But Rufus bounces off the wall and comes down on his feet, snarling bloody saliva and fangs. The other bear, Marmalade, or maybe Murder, is in front of him, though, bellowing and roaring, and everyone else is piling out of mouths as quick as they can. My unlikely savior takes my arm with a hand as big as my head and hauls me with them, and it's not like I have much choice, but that doesn't matter. Sugar's who I want to see.